Hello, everyone. We can just get everybody to sit down, get your coffees. So today we have a special presentation. Father Anthony's out of town. We have Father Abraham here with us. He's here from Africa. A lot of you know him from the past. He used to be a servant here in this church. Once was Michael Pham, now he's Father Abraham. For those that don't know him, he actually went to school here at George Mason University, graduated in 1998. Go Patriots. Him and I both came to this church. We grew up actually without a church. We grew up overseas in Saudi Arabia, and we didn't know what it was like to have a Coptic church. So a lot of you that are blessed were born and raised in a church. We didn't even know what that was like. We came to George Mason by the grace of God, and Abuna Bishoy was new here, so we started coming to the church 1 mile away from the school that we were at. One thing led to another. Abuna Abraham, Michael Pham at the time, was called into the service. He was a high school servant here at St. Mark. A lot of the high school kids know him now that high school kids are college kids. They remember him from the past. He was notorious for always fighting with his small group and wrestling with the kids and challenging the kids, challenging the youth to be better. He was then called to a higher service here at church. We had a full-time job at St. Mark Church. He was in charge of the youth ministry here. And then he was also the creator for and founder for Mission Life Center. A lot of you have heard Mission Life Center. There's a booth in the back. You can get information. Mission Life Center was built based around the missions in Africa that inspired him. He also wanted to create mission opportunities for the youth here and people all over the world, young and old, to go over to Africa to serve. Missions here, missions in D.C., missions in the Bronx, missions in Mexico, all over the world. Later on, Abuna and his wife Delia were called to go serve in Africa. They knew that they were supposed to go to Africa to serve full-time. They were called to a higher level of mission work to go over there. The idea originally was that they would go there temporarily. They weren't supposed to go for a long period of time. They were called to go 3 months or 6 months. So they answered the call. But in that time, God spoke clearly to Abuna Abraham and gave them the vision that he was to become a priest in Africa to serve the people there, to serve the orphans, the widows, to serve the HIV patients. Now, Father Abraham, there's four churches in Lusaka. Father Abraham's in charge of two of the churches. There's two other churches there. And now he's here to speak to each and every one of you about the mission in Africa. Some people here already have been to Africa. Actually, raise your hand if you've been to Africa and you've served overseas. So there's a good many of you, at least a quarter of you. So what he'll do now is he'll explain what goes on overseas. A lot of you are donors of the Oz Project or have supported the mission financially or have spent time going there. Father Abraham will explain that. We'll show some videos and get you up to speed of what's going on over there. So here's Father Abraham.
I have to stand up? Oh, man. Before I share something with you, we'll stand up for prayer, and we'll pray together. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us all here today to be with you, Lord, and to spend time with you, Lord. And we're here just to know all the works that you're doing around here in the world. Lord, you're not a dead God, you're God of the living, and you're doing many great things all over the world, Lord. Here in Washington, D.C., and all over the United States, and even in Africa, and all over the world, Lord. You're doing great things, Lord, and you're doing great things with many people, Lord. You're changing lives, you're touching hearts, Lord. And Lord, all we want to do is see more of it. We want to see your hand working more and more. We want to see your miracles. We want to see your blessing more and more in the lives of all the people, Lord. I ask you to be with all my brothers and sisters who are standing before you. Give them a special blessing. Grant them peace, mercy, love. Take care of them in their life, everything they do, Lord. And let us all be just together today during this time, Lord, just to get a message from you, Lord, to be touched by you and to hear from you. We love you. We glorify you. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, intercession and prayer of all the saints, hear us as we thankfully say, Our Father who art in heaven. Okay. The first thing we want to do, if all of us, those who are standing, maybe you guys can come sit down. Anyone who's standing, maybe if you can, come sit here. Today we want to take you through a journey. A lot of you have been asking, like, what's going on? What's the latest thing that's happening in Africa, and especially with you, Abuna, and Zambia? So what happened, before I came here, the people from Zambia, they actually put the video together. They said, the Zambian people said, I want you to show the people in America, when you go there, I want you to show them what's really happening here, there in Zambia. So there's like three videos. Okay, the quality might not be the best. Hopefully we can see it. Hopefully we can hear it. I will let the video kind of give you a better understanding. I'll try to speak. If I see a need to speak about something, I can stop the video and we can share together. But the key is for us is if you have to like try your best to pay close attention to the video. The video is a journey through the inside of the mission. So usually when we come, we give you an outside perspective of the mission. But today we're going to give you the inside of the mission. We're going to show you details of what we're doing every single day. And we're going to see the people of Zambia. You're going to see the priests of Zambia. You're going to see their needs. You're going to see everything that's going on. Okay? So once you see this, I will come up afterwards. And I will share with you something that I want to share with you. And then we'll go from there. So the video, hoping with the lights and everything, hopefully you can see it. So go ahead and start the video, pay attention, and I will try to, I'll speak to you afterwards. Thank you.
than any of the other children in this country. And here at the school, what we do a lot of things. Besides focusing on their education, we're like the parents. We provide a home for these children where the children feel love and they feel accepted and they feel a place of hope. And also, in addition, we help their physical needs. If they need blankets, we provide blankets. Food, we can give food. Whatever is needed, we're trying as much as we can. And God is always blessing us and giving us resources to help the children with. Of course, we need more resources. It seems like we got it together, but there's still a lot more to go. And this is where we need your help. We need a lot of prayers. Prayers that these children can really overcome the obstacles and overcome their lives to really believe in themselves and accomplish a wonderful dreams for their own lives. And we need teachers, because we're expanding the school to many other churches in Zambia. We need more teachers. We need teachers to come and train our local teachers here. And we need, of course, we need sponsorships of our children. As our children can go to universities, we need children to be sponsored. We thank you. We thank God so much that we're able to take care of these young ones. And come and see for yourself. You'll love the children. See their faces and how much they love the Lord. You'll fall in love with them the same way we've fallen in love with them.
This is the Mission Life Center project, the Oz Project, Orphans of Zambia. These are the orphans, and this is the school you're seeing, like you heard Dahlia saying here, St. Abinoub Christian School. So we have about 100, 150 orphan children who come to the school during the day, and we take care of them, all their needs. We give them education. We give them a chance. There's other churches, three other churches in Zambia. They're begging us to expand there, to open up schools there. So by your prayers, we can continue. So this is every time you hear Oz Project, Orphans of Zambia, this is it.
We'd like to build boarding schools for these children. And they can come and learn and come and stay in a safe environment. We'd love to expand our schools to other churches in our community here, other Orthodox churches. And we'd also just want to provide more and more resources and more things to our children here. Because this is our future. This is the future of Zambia. It's the future of our world here. So we need your help, and we thank you so very much. And don't forget to pray for us. We need all the prayers.
Some of the members. People ask us, are we doing church services there? We have Palm Sunday and Good Friday, as you can see. So all the sacraments and all the feasts of the church, we're continuing the same. So in Africa, we're continuing the same. It's not different. We don't just jump up and down and sing crazy songs. We actually have the church services. This is, I can see, Good Friday. So thank you. Okay, so that's a pause. The next video number two. Hope you guys are you still awake? You're following along, it's okay? The next video, you're going to see more of some of the services in St. Mark, but you're also going to see one of my favorite people in the whole world, which is Father Mark of Zambia. You'll get to hear from him personally. And I want you to listen carefully to Father Mark's message. When we were recording it, like what he said, like really touched my heart. Like I didn't expect him to say it, but it's just, he's really like one of the most special people there. He's a Zambian priest. He's been there for 6 years, laboring in the ministry. And you can see some of what he went through when the church first started there. A man wearing a black galabeya going around the Zambia was very odd and very foreign to many people. So you can see some of his challenges. So we'll put the next video on, video number two, and you can see more about St. Mark and St. Mary and some of the other church services we're doing.
Welcome back. We thank you for listening to us so far about the Coptic Orthodox Church. Now we want to tell you about some of the services we're doing currently.
Tetigom was in four languages: Nyanja, Coptic, English, and Arabic. We have many Ethiopians, many Zambians, many Egyptians there working and serving side by side. You can see, if you look close, you can see all kinds of people there. Parts of the earth. Who would ever thought that Zambia would have the Coptic Orthodox Church faith like this? Thank you. fellowship with the Egyptians all the time, playing ping pong and Bible study.
And hope that one day you can come along and stand with us in this
was running away from us, and no one came to us. But in the second year, people saw the love that the people were receiving. The community was receiving a different love from the churches that they knew. They were receiving much more love and more attention. In which way? To be so particular is that we loved the people. We visited them daily. We sat down together with them. We mentioned to them that Christ loves you the way you are. And Christ is able to help you better than you think. He is a father. Most of them actually now have stopped drinking. They walk on their own to the church and they are saving up. We're happy some of them are saving with us, and some of them have joined us and they go out to reach out to others and to other drunkards as well.
Thank you.
we need the education to educate that many children in the street, because they have nothing to do and no one is able to shed more light to them that they can develop hope. So education, if we educate them, we educate them about Christ in the church and also from their tender age, but also to teach them academically, to raise them from childhood. This is our dream for the future, and I hope it will be soon, and I hope it will be tomorrow, maybe even today, and I hope it will be today. Thank God for Sahina and the other Egyptian brothers and sisters and missionaries that have come to love the people the way they are, and to preach Christ and to support the Hope Center.
Okay, so that's 2 out of 3 videos. Hope we didn't lose anybody. Is everyone still awake? You're still following along? Okay. If you heard Father Mark, he said something that was really, really, like, it touched me. He said, I hope we can find a way to educate the children of Zambia and put together some kind of education program for St. Mary's Church. Because St. Mark has the school and we're trying to focus on helping in St. Mary. And he says, I hope that day will come. I hope it'll be tomorrow. He said, no, I actually hope it's today. And he says, I really hope it's today. Like, it's really, like, when I was recording him do that, it really touched me, because, like, you can see the inside of the priest of Zambia who really loves those children so much. And he's just speaking out, saying, I just hope that we can help these children as soon as possible. So really, you can see the inside of Abuna's heart and how he loves those children, how he wants to help them, give them a chance at just simple things in life that we take for granted, which is education. Okay, last video. It's very hard to hear. The quality is very bad on it, but I want you to pay attention. This is the part about the hospital and the Hope Center. So if you don't know yet, the church in Zambia has, the church services. It also has the school to educate the orphans and vulnerable children, and also has the hospital and Hope Center to help with all the medical needs of the people, especially the Hope Center for HIV and so forth. So you're going to hear a little bit about the Hope Center and hospital, how it started, what challenges they have, and you can see a little bit on the inside of what's really going on in Zambia as far as the medical side and what they're doing and how it's tied into the church. So you really, really got to listen carefully. Sorry for the quality of the video, but listen as close as you can, and listen to these doctors as they're really sharing from their heart about the medical side of the mission. So go ahead and play video number 3, last video, and then afterwards we'll share something together. So forth. This is the hospital actually in Kenyama, the St. Mary's Church where Abuna Mark is. It was just opened a year or so ago, and you'll hear about more about that. They also have a Hope Center there too.
Outpatient and for inpatient care with a small theater which can take only small receiver. Over time, it started to expand, and by 2002, we have a new land, and we have a new inpatient, and it started to be 22 beds, and we have two main theater rooms and a maternity. In 1996, we start to work with shares, and we start to have an HIV program, and we reach now to close to around 2,800 patients in all the three programs. In 1997, Kinyama Clinic started by Dr. Mwani, now we have an outpatient with the lab and pharmacy, and started an HIV program as well. At the moment, we have in the hospital an outpatient department, which we have in it different specialties from infectious disease to urology to tropical medicine, general surgery, gynecologist. Most of them are consultants who are coming as a visitor to have the clinic here like once per week and so on. The lab contains all the required chemist and blood counters and blood tests which could be needed. There was a small X-ray department. We have an ultrasound and ECG. In the inpatient, we have 22 beds with the maternity and theaters. We do quite a big number of major surgery, including cancer colons and cancer breast thyroids, plus endoscopic and laparoscopic surgery, which we are just starting to do now. The main problem we are facing, which we are facing, is lack of human resource. If we look at, we seeing as an outpatient in the main clinic in North Meek, around 85 patients, and Hope Center, we are seeing close to around 70 patients, plus around 20 patients in Kenyama, and we have only 5 full-time doctors, and we have wards, we have surgery running, we have emergency rooms, so only 5 doctors run all these places. It's quite a huge challenge we are facing. The same in the pharmacy, we are lacking human resources. We have 2 pharmacies run all the requirements for the hospital. But the small number we have, the people here are living as the same as a one family. We are sharing the same vision. We are working as one heart. Everybody's caring about the face, your body, loving the face, and wanting to give the face for it. Most of our staff here are looking after working hour till late at night just to help to sit down the service to everybody is needed. We want people not just to work, but we need people who can have the same vision as us, that we can share the same mission of Christ. The hospital mission here is not just to give the physical healing to the people, but we want to give also special healing. So we wish people to come to join us, to work with us, not as only as a doctor, but also a special healing who can contribute Jesus Christ to the other, who can share the love of Christ and the care of Christ, so the people can feel it and be touched. And many of our patients who came here and it ended up them to be in the church because they feel the love and the care. So this is the part of people we are looking for.
Training for the hospital, customer care training with everyone together. You can see the hospital is a real hospital. It's not a joke. It's not just. It's got a surgery. It's got real doctors, pharmacists, X-ray lab technicians. Now about the Hope Center. The director of the Hope Center will talk now. So try to pay attention. The quality is also not very good.
center is actually support of the Coptic from the Coptic hospital, and it's like we realize that the community needs a lot of attention now for the HIV AIDS, and we started as a small service of trying to trace with HIV patients and try to help them by giving free ARVs, which is, this is a treatment, antiretroviral therapy, a treatment for the HIV. But by the time that we have this program got getting like more expanding, and we wanted some more funds for that, and we approached the Church Health Association of Zambia, and they helped us to establish the Coptic Hope Center in April 2006. And things got like gradually increased, and we are close now to 3,000 patients, and we have a pediatric center which is close to 300 child now, 300 children now with the ARVs. This helps in helps the community that to see the needs of the community and what is needed to help the, to see how the disease affecting the families. It's not only the health of the individual themselves, it's also affecting their families and their children, and they die early and they leave small children and a lot of orphans. By Hope Center, we help a lot of patients that to strengthen their life and prolong their life, and they have more quality life. A lot of patients now, they go back to their to their jobs, they resume their normal life, and they have like more hope to live positively now. And with children, we have a lot of children now after they have a lot of disease and malnutrition. They are now back to their schools, and they're doing fine, and they are like even like happy to come to the center every month now to be attended and checked to see that they are doing. We have a very nice program to have HIV negative patients coming, or children coming from positive mothers. We have also the support group, which is they are meeting weekly, and they are supporting each other. So it's like everyone, even if he knows that he is HIV positive, he has his colleagues, and they can meet and they can support each other, and they see what is their destiny in life, and what is the destiny of testing, how it's hope can bring a lot of hope to the people. Program is expanding very, very fast, and we have problem with the building itself, which is still small for us, so we need more building to be expanded, and we need more human resource. We have more. We need more doctors, we need more nurses, we need more counselors, because the program is expanding, so the need is getting more now. Not only in North Mead, this branch here, we have another branch now is opening in St. Mary Church in Kenyana compound, which is enrolled so far about 400 patients on ARVs. And we need also more laboratory equipment to help us to cope the medication and the investigation that we need to be done to the patients. So there's a lot of challenges, but we are ready to face the challenges, and we believe that the Lord is here. He is doing His work, and He's the one who looks after His work, and He is the one who started it, and He is very faithful and to finish His work. We are just tools in His hands, and He's the one who does everything and plan for it.
Children's home where we have about 250 children whose mothers, whose parents died. Every health problem we face is being solved in the Hope Center here at the Coptic Church and Coptic Hospital. We are very, very grateful for all the help, all the advice we get. We feel that we come to our own family when we bring our children here. May God bless you all. And may He reward you what you are doing for the children in Zambia. Thank you.
I hope you liked the presentation. Sorry about the quality of the sound, but I think you understood for the most part what everyone was trying to say. So like I said before, you see now that the church in Africa is not just a church for spiritual nourishment only. The church in Africa is actually like the mother and father for the people of Africa. It's not only like if you're sick, you come to the church to get better, right? If you don't have food to eat, the church is there to help. If you don't have spiritual nourishment, the church is there, right? If you don't go to school, guess what? The church is there to help. So the church is really like, it's put into very special opportunity to help in every kind of way. So you saw the hospital and the Hope Center, you saw the school, you saw the church services and facilities and everything, and you saw how there's such a big need for all these things. By the way, I'm not here today to convince you or sell you on coming to Africa. That's not my point today. I'm not here to say you have to come to Africa. I'm not going to give you that pitch today. But what I'm going to tell you today is this is your church also. This is your sister church, and God sent one of your brothers or father to be there to help in our sister church. But anytime you have a sister, you have to help your sister. So what I wanted to show you today was what the Coptic Orthodox Church is doing in Africa, and more specifically I was presenting Zambia because I'm more familiar with Zambia. So you can see the challenges, you can see what's going on, and maybe you can help with what's going on. Because it's not right for us just to sit by and to watch our brothers and sisters. But this, what I'm saying to you now, is not just for Africa. Let's open up to a verse in Ezekiel. I think we can put it up on the screen from Ezekiel. If you have your Bibles, I don't know if you have Bibles or not, but if not, thank God we have the screen up here. From Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Okay, there it is. So we'll read together here. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Let's look again at what God is saying here. What is God looking for? Let's look again. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. The Lord, if you want to know this verse, like a few weeks back we were doing a servant's retreat and this verse popped up at me for the first time, and it really, really touched me to see what God is looking at. God is looking for a man or a woman, anyone, to fill the gap, to stand in the gap. Because if he doesn't find someone to stand in the gap, guess what happens to the people? They get destroyed. So the Lord is seeking earnestly, looking around everywhere to find someone who can stand in the gap and to fill that part so that the land is not destroyed. So if we don't fill that gap here in Washington, D.C., no one's going to fill that gap. Every one of you should be like, imagine like a wall with like different cracks in the wall or different like holes in the wall, right? Our job is to fill those cracks. If not, the wall is not going to stand and it's really going to be destroyed. So our job, and I'm not talking about just Africa now, I'm talking about in general, is to stand in the gap. What that means practically is God is looking for you and for me to see where there's a hole and to fill it. He's looking for us where there's a problem or a need around you. He's looking for us to fill the gap. But the most sad thing about this verse is the very last few words. What did the Lord find? He found no one. The Lord couldn't find anyone. The Lord couldn't find anyone to step up. There's a hole, there's a challenge, there's a problem. And the Lord couldn't find anyone to stand up. So I'm praying that if there's a hole or a gap in Fairfax or Washington, D.C., I hope that you can fill that gap. I hope that you see the problems and issues and challenges and people who are lost around you and situations that are not good. I hope you can fill the gap, because the Lord is looking for you to fill the gap. There's a hole and He's looking for you so that He doesn't have, so the land is not destroyed. And the same goes for where I am now, for my home in Zambia. The same is there. And the gap is huge. And if you listen carefully to the people speaking, I know it's very hard. They said one recurring theme. There is no people. The doctors were pleading for more doctors. The pharmacist pleading for more pharmacists. The priest pleading for more servants. And there's too much to do, and there's a big hole. And I'm praying, and you need to pray for your sister church, that someone come fill the gap. So there's a gap here and there's a gap there. This is your church, this is your church. Both of these are your churches. There's a gap in both. So I'm just praying that all of us, imagine all the people in this room, maybe 100 people in this room, if we decided to stand up and say, look, Lord, I'm not going to be the one to let you down. I'm going to fill that gap. Can you say that? Can you say that I'm going to step up? Or is our heart not sensitive to God and what He wants? Do you care what makes God happy? Do you care that God is finding no one? You should be the one saying, Lord, that's not going to be me. I'm going to be the one to fill your gap. Tell me what to do. And there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do here, and there's a lot to do there. And I'm talking about one country. When Alicia was here today, if he were to tell you about Kenya, he would sit here for 1 hour and tell you about Kenya. And there's many other countries. And there's big gaps and big holes, and we're praying for someone to go and fill the gap. And the thing is, like, some of you will say, Abuna, I have nothing to offer. I guarantee that's not true. You know, we have people come into the mission every week and every month, and whatever skill they have, we use it. If they're an engineer, guess what? They're helping out, helping us build buildings and build churches. If they come and they know anything about carpentry, they help out. If they come with any skill, any talent, we utilize it. Because your talent and your gift is what fills that wall. If everyone here was doctors, then we would not fill the gap. It'd be lopsided. So everyone with your talents and your gifts should use them here in this church and should offer them to your sister church. Okay, so as much as we can, I just wanted to show you the inside of the Coptic Orthodox mission in Zambia and the inside of our life there, to see what's going on and to see what the need is. There's deacons there that are begging for us to teach them the hymnology. And of course, if anyone knows me, I was never a good deacon. So I'm gonna do my best to teach them, but there's no one there to teach them the hymns. We're trying our best. So if you know hymns, come and help. Come and offer. So more than anything, the biggest challenge we have there, just so you know, is lack of people. Each one of these doctors, they don't sleep. Pray for them. They work like every other night on call shifts, late night. They have families. And every person, pharmacist, doctor, engineers, missionaries who come, they carry the load of 50 people. And it's just lopsided. It's just lopsided the way it is. And I feel, and I really truly feel this, there's something missing. Like someone is not listening to the call of God to fill the gap. And I'm sure in this church there's 5,000 things that need to be done that no one is picking up the slack. And I'm sure it's the same here. So what I'm saying to you is, not really come to Africa, but what I'm saying to you is, fill the gap. Every one of you should be filling some hole in this world. If you're not, you're not doing what God is asking. You're not doing the Great Commission. You're not doing any commandment that God has given, because God always instructs us to fill the gap and to serve others. So I pray that you think and meditate on this message for you, and you pray for Zambia, and you pray for Africa, and that you don't sit by any longer. Don't sit by and watch. Don't be a spectator. You know, they always say, life with God is not a spectator sport. So we can't just be coming every week and watching and attending and listening and just sitting there eating the Word of God and getting fat on the Word of God. It's time to go and to stand in the gap. And if you're standing in the gap, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the ones who are not standing. So I'm just talking about the ones who, like, God wants you to fill that gap because He can't find anyone. Okay? So I pray that you receive this message and that it would make you want to stand up and do something now. Every one of you has something special to offer. And if you offer it, those kids in Zambia, be okay. Those people all over Africa, they'll be okay. So we pray for that. Pray for us in the mission. Don't forget about us. We are, like, if anything, we are family. We are the same church. I served with a lot of you, and I served a lot of you, and received service from a lot of you. So we are family, and this is your extended family that you saw today. They're no different, you know. They have a lot to offer, and they just need a chance. So I pray you can help them get a chance at growing up, having education, not being limited by their diseases and things like that, to give them a chance to be great leaders for the future. And we pray that you can have something to do with that, and we pray you can have something to do with what's happening here at St. Mark. Okay? So that's all I wanted to say. So if you have any questions, I can answer them, and then I'll pass it back to the Mission Life Center team if you don't have any questions. So we'll give you a chance for a few minutes to ask any questions. The video should have pretty much gave you, like, everything about what we're doing. So if there's any additional questions, I don't mind answering them. If not, we can pray, and I'll pass it over to the Mission Life Center team. So we'll give you a minute or two. Anyone want to ask anything? Going once. Going twice. Oh, you caught me. Okay, the question is, what's the distance between St. Mark and St. Mary and the Hope Center and hospital and the school? That's the question. Okay, so St. Mark has the hospital and Hope Center and school. And St. Mary, which is 20 minutes away in another city, has just a hospital and Hope Center, no school. Okay? St. George is in the middle of a village. St. George is like, you have to go, if anybody's been there, a bumpy road for 1 hour like this, and you see a lot of animals and lots of things around you, it's a bumpy road, then you get to a village church, right? And in there, they have their own challenges and things like that. So that's about 1 hour drive. The new church, St. Moses, is in the middle of the dangerous city. Not dangerous, it's like putting a church into Washington, D.C. It's not as nice as, of course, Fairfax, but it's, some places are more dangerous, but there the alcohol rate is higher and lots of spiritual problems is higher and more issues. So those are the four churches. That's another 20 minutes away. So most of the churches are within, like, you know, 20-30 minutes, except for St. George, which is 1 hour away. Okay, and the hospital is only in two churches, St. Mark and St. Mary. The school is only in one church, which is St. Mark. Okay, make sense? Okay. Everyone's good? No more questions? We'll stand up for prayer. And then Eddie and the Mission Life Center team have a little announcement to make. So we'll stand up for prayer and we'll let them continue. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day you've given us, Lord. I thank you personally, Lord, for giving me a chance to speak and to speak on your behalf, Lord, and to say what you wanted to say, Lord. And I pray that we can be a family, Lord, under you as your children, helping each other. Lord, that's what you created us for, to help each other and to love one another. And that's why we're here, Lord. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters for listening and for their kind love and their help always in the mission and the ministry, Lord. Without them, Lord, we can't do anything, Lord. Without their help and their love and their prayers, we can't do what we can do, Lord. So I thank you for them, Heavenly Father. I just bless their day and lead them in everything they do, Lord. And forgive me, Lord, for my many sins and for anything I've done against you, knowingly or unknowingly. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We want to stand in that gap, Lord. We know there's a big hole, and we know that there's a lot to do, Lord. And if we don't fill that gap, Lord, people will be destroyed, Lord. And we know that we have to be the ones filling that hole, Lord. So please use us. Use our skills, our abilities. Use whatever we have, Lord. And we offer it to you, Lord, so you can do something great, Lord. We love you and we glorify you this day. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, intercession and prayers of all the saints, hear us as we thankfully say, Our Father who art in heaven.